years or in my own course, which I give at the Bhaktivedanta University, or how do we call it? Bhaktivedanta College, yes. I thought I would speak on what is at the heart of the inner path of Krishna consciousness, that is the subject matter of transformation. I've spoken about this subject matter nearly in all places where I have been invited, and some of you might be familiar with some of the concepts, but I will address these concepts in a new way so that I will not repeat myself in what I have said in other classes. Right. I do not know all my students at this moment, so please forgive me. I think after the breakfast prasadam we will have our first session, and then I can ask you for your names and then we can get to know each other. At this moment I do not know who's my student and who's not my student. No. And therefore I'm a little bit in a happy anticipation. Good, so let us chant Jai Radha Madhava, please. Jai Radha Madhava Kunya Viha Jaya Adha Madha Kunya Viha Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change when ecstasy takes place. Tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. Purport. We should note with profit that in the first three chapters of the second canto, a gradual process of development of devotional service is being presented. In the first chapter, the first step in devotional service for God consciousness, by the process of hearing and chanting, has been stressed, and a gross conception of the personality of Godhead in his universal form for the beginners is recommended. By such a gross conception of God through the material manifestations of his energy, one is enabled to spiritualize the mind and the senses and gradually concentrate the mind upon Lord Vishnu, the Supreme, who is present as the super soul in every heart and everywhere, in every atom of the material universe. The system of Panchupasana, recommending five mental attitudes for the common man, is also enacted for this purpose, namely, gradual development, worship of the superior, that may be in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last the impersonal super soul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu, a child. This is a very good information. There is a training for a common man to come to God consciousness by first worshipping what is superior to him. To worship the Supreme in the form of fire, electricity, the sun, the mass of living beings, Lord Shiva, and at last the impersonal Supersoul, the partial representation of Lord Vishnu. They are all nicely described in the second chapter, but in the third chapter, further development is prescribed after one has actually reached the stage of Vishnu worship, or pure devotional service, and the mature stage of Vishnu worship is suggested herein in relation to the change of heart. Now comes another paragraph. I will only read this one more paragraph because the purport is very long and we might like to continue tomorrow with it. Now, Prabhupada so far has summarized the first three chapters, or is it two chapters of the second canto, by saying that a gradual progressive ladder with step one, step two, step three has been suggested. First you worship the Lord in your immediate environment, that means the universal form, and then you progress gradually to the super soul. And now Prabhupada in the second paragraph of the purport will tell us what is the point of all of this. And you will find out very soon that this is the point of your own Krishna consciousness as well. Let us most attentively hear now. Ready? The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at eating more prasadam. Sorry, I was inattentive. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at getting a position in an institution. I'm very sorry. I don't know. I'm so inattentive this morning. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart of the living being in the matter of his eternal relation with the Supreme Lord as subordinate servant, which is his eternal constitutional position. Does this sound right? It sounds right, but maybe you have made it up. We have no trust in you now any longer as a reliable reader of the purport. No, it is not made up. Prabhupada says the whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing our heart so that we will realize our eternal constitutional position as an eternal servant, subordinate servant of the Supreme. So, with the progress of devotional service, the reaction of change in the heart is exhibited by gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment, by a false sense of lording it over the world. That's one symptom, and an increase in the attitude of rendering loving service to the Lord. That's the change of heart. Vidhi Bhakti, or regulated devotional service by the limbs of the body, namely the eyes, the ears, the nose, the hands and the legs, as already explained herein before, is now stressed herein in relation to the mind, which is the impetus for all activities of the limbs of the body. It is expected by all means that by discharging regulated devotional service, one must manifest the change of heart. If there is no such change, the heart must be considered steel-framed, for it is not melted even when there is chanting of the holy name of the Lord. We must always remember that hearing and chanting are the basic principles of discharging devotional duties. And if they are properly performed, There will follow the reactional ecstasy with signs of tears in the eyes and standing of the hairs on the body. These are natural consequences and are the preliminary symptoms of the bhava stage, which occurs before one reaches the perfection stage of prema, love of Godhead. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Simate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Nitya Namine Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paskatyare Shatarine Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Garadhara Shivashadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. We will read again the text with translation. Tat ashmasaram hridayam bhatedam yat griyamaner harina madeyai navikriyetata yadhavikaro netre jalam gatra ruheshu harshaha. Translation. Certainly that heart is steel framed, which, in spite of one's chanting the holy name of the Lord with concentration, does not change. When ecstasy takes place, tears fill the eyes and the hairs stand on end. The whole process of spiritual culture is aimed at changing the heart. Sisi Radha Gopinath ki jai. And the change of heart will become obvious, says Srila Prabhupada, or we can recognize the change of heart by the development of two mental attitudes. One is an detachment, a gradual detachment from the sense of material enjoyment. And the second mental attitude, which will signify our change of heart, our inner transformation, is an increased desire to serve Lord Krishna. This is the alchemical process of Krishna consciousness. This is interesting to note that in the medieval times here in this area of Europe, the old royal dynasty kept alchemists who were ordered to find the formula which would enable them to change ordinary metal into gold. The kings needed the gold for building castles and financing their wars. They therefore were extremely interested to have these alchemists. Whether or not any alchemist was successful in doing this is highly questionable, but it was a great commotion. I know that one of the many Karls kidnapped the alchemist from a French king because it was said that he indeed had found the formula. Now, if you would ask the alchemists at that time, you would find cheaters and true practitioners of the art. If you would ask the true practitioners, what was the purpose in changing metal into gold? It was really not the same as the king's purpose was. They were not so much interested in the gold, but they were interested in the process of transformation, which they thought, if they would recognize it in one discipline, that is, in the chemical discipline, they could take the principle and transform their heart with the same principle. For instance, here in Radhadesh, we have discovered one principle of our visible development. It is cooperation amongst devotees. Now, this principle we can take also in not only in community building, we could take it also in sankirtan, doing sankirtan, or the principle of cooperation could be even taken into marriages and whatever, you know. Principles are applicable in different circumstances because they are underlying all of reality, if they are true principles. So the alchemists wanted to find the principles of transformation, and they thought the easiest is to work with metal, because to work with hearts is more difficult. They knew that. So they were mystics, really. And it is very, very interesting that this example, transformation by bringing one metal in another, appears also in the Vaishnava literature. There's a verse in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, written by Sanatan Goswami, which says that just like ordinary metal can be transformed into gold by the application of a certain chemical formula. It seemed Sanatan Goswami was knowing about it. In the same way, the heart of an ordinary man can be transformed by the guidance of a spiritual master. A non-Brahmana can become a Brahmana. Hare Krishna. It's a very interesting. I was really thinking, if I would have lived at the time of the alchemical people, I would have gone to them and showed them this text and said, go to India. There you will find what you are searching for. You will find how to transform ordinary metal into gold, and you will also find the process how to change hearts, how to change characters. In fact, I know the formula how to do it, but it is so gruesome that I do not dare to tell it to you before breakfast. It is too intense, but I know, I have heard from someone who had heard from Prabhupada how to do this gold transforming thing. If you want outside the temple room, I can explain it, because it's really not before the deities. So let us for a moment look on this example, because remember, we are looking for a principle how to change anything, not just metal but also hearts or characters. What, this is our question which we will look at, would be necessary to change ordinary metal into gold? Hridaya Chaitanya Prabhu, have you gone into a chemistry course in the universe? Someone of you? Not really. Do we have a chemist here or physicists? Some are physica? Physica? Wie sagt man das in English?
Mercury.
No. What would be necessary to change an ordinary metal like this, is very ordinary metal, into gold? I'm sorry? I do not... Intelligence would be necessary. Hare Krishna, certainly, Mataji. Certainly, you have given a very wise answer. What would be necessary? I have asked a person who studied the science of physics. Physics, yes. You would really have to enter the atomic structure which builds up this metal and change the atoms around. Now, to do that, you would have to apply a force which is equivalent to the force of the splitting the atom, the atomic force. Because what holds the atoms within their structure is what is called the strong force. It's a very strong force. Now, please look at this a little bit, because we will use it for, or need it for our whole course. Let us see this metal. Huh? What is it really? It is not so much different than the air which surrounds it, if you look on a physical platform. Here are atoms which have a certain distance and structure and how they come together. And around it are also the same atoms which have only a different structure. Did you know this? Now, but still, the world is so... It's not just waving one soup of atoms which changes all the time, like this changes into air and, you know... No, it remains for some time at least in this structure. Because there is this strong force, one of Krishna's energies, one of the sub-energies of the material energy, we could say, which holds this structure together and which holds this structure together. Hare Krishna. To change this into air, or air into iron, you would have to work with these strong structures and mold them around. And that is equivalent to an atom explosion. It is very, very hard, and I don't know if it is possible at all by modern science. But they would tamper with energies, my dear Prabhus and Majesties, which are just very, very, very strong. It is possible to externally change a substance. For instance, I could here paint with some gold. I could paint the iron Yadunandan Prabhu, and it might look gold for a child. But this is only an external change, which is not really a change. Such a change would not survive one Belgium winter night. You know, the golden color would split off. In the same way, it is possible to make an external change in our lives very easily. You change the hairstyle, and some parts of your vocabulary, instead of hello, for instance, you would say Haribol, and you paint something on your face, some tilak, but to change the heart, it's very, very difficult. Some of you might have seen also some examples of failures, maybe in your own life or in our international, I will now call it lovingly, attempt for becoming Krishna conscious. Yes, devotees who had climbed high on the ladder of, let me say, position or even spiritual ashrams have surprised themselves and the world with the simple fact that their heart was not transformed, despite external changes in their lives, and they felt pulled back to their old life. I think we should acknowledge that they embarked on a very difficult aim, and the fact that they were not successful should not make us look down on them, but it should help us to understand it's difficult. It's easy to make an external change of the in our lives, but to make a change of the heart, to make a change of the character, my dear devotees, it is not easy. In fact, it is difficult. Hare Krishna. Now, let us look on my notes if there's something else to say on this class than just saying it is difficult. When we say we have to change the heart, what exactly do we have to change? Some flesh or muscle, a muscle, a pump, or what do we have to change then? The consciousness, yes. Attachments, attitudes, yes. I was thinking of attitudes, and what you have said is all ties into this. We have to change our sense of identity, really. Aham mameti. This is the stuff our heart is made of. Just like a mountain is made of granite and maybe basalt, our material personality or identity is made of I am, and this is mine. Aham mameti. In the concluding words to his wonderful work Madhurya Kadambini, which some of you have studied already, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur makes the point, the whole process from Shraddha to Prema, how the whole process of spiritual development means to change the aham and the mameti. On its own. That is what is meant to change the heart. Rasa Parayana, how much have you realized I am a servant, not of myself, but of Krishna? No need to answer. It is a difficult question which you would have also to think a lot about. How much have we managed to see to see what is in Krishna's interest. A little while ago we had this wonderful reunion in Mumbai where practically all the old devotees who were with Prabhupada at the founding times of our project were present, and they all said how they saw how Prabhupada's mameti was totally different. Prabhupada's sense of my was totally different than theirs. They had purchased a snake and mosquito infested property where the police was driving them off the grounds. There was a cheating contract and so on. Finally, the difficulties became just too much. Health difficulties, the municipality of Mumbai was against them, and so on. And they cancelled the sales agreement. This was a little thin hair on which the whole project was hanging. They went like, it's impossible. When Prabhupada heard it, he was totally shocked. He said, I have promised Radha Rasa Bihari that they should get a temple here. This was Prabhupada's whole heartbeat and interest. Even if it was difficult, it didn't matter. It was not his interest. They had to do something for Krishna. That was Prabhupada would say, this is my interest, Prabhupada would say. It's totally Krishnaized. And my dear devotees, it's difficult to come to this stage, to totally spiritualize our sense of who we are and what is therefore my life and my interest, and make it all Krishnaized. It is difficult. But this is what we are up to here. This is also the whole subject matter of our course, transformation or contemplation, Krishna consciousness. How is it possible? Let us not discuss how it is not possible and become mental and dissolve our international attempt for becoming Krishna consciousness here and there. How is it possible to change the heart? May I have some answers by our older devotees? And the young devotees will immediately have an answer. Yes! Vishnumurti Prabhu. Mm-hmm. We must first of all make a decision to begin this process.
Well, we have to decide whether we want to accumulate transcendental experience by following the instructions of the spiritual master.
We have to accumulate transcendental experiences by following instructions. Radha Chaitanya Prabhu, what would you say? There should be a lot of reflection. So that one internalizes the process, and where one also is ready to see his own shortcomings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not to be fearful of change.
Mm-hmm. There are many, many answers, thank you very much. You have really contributed very nicely to. I will just say, suggest to you one process which is given in the Vedic scriptures. It's this process how you can learn anything. These are three and two steps to learn anything. The first is called Shravana, hearing. The next step is Manaha, reflecting. And then last step is Nididhyasana, which means applying. You hear a new information, and to ensure that it does not go, as we say in German, in one ear and out in the other ear, you must start to do manaha, reflection, which pulls the whole subject into your heart. See, if you have reflection here, it goes like this. You hear something, and oh, what does it mean? How does it apply to me? And the information goes into your consciousness. If you have no reflection, you just hear it, and nothing happens with it. It is staying, and then it goes out to make room for the next thing which you hear. Manaha, or reflection, is highly important. But if you reflect about something, but then you don't, you need to also apply it. Because only by applied knowledge can you make it your own. Otherwise it remains a theoretical concept. By application, it becomes an experience. Baladev Vidyabhushana says, these three processes are good for learning anything, but they are not sufficient if you wish to change your heart. Mm-hmm. And now comes the additional two, which are necessary. The strong force which we need to change our conditioning is a divine force which we must which I will identify for you, it's called Kripa Shakti, mercy. We are interested in electrical energy, atomic energy, sexual energy, we human beings. There is a much stronger energy which people know about, but they don't. It's too abstract for them, unless they become spiritual scientists. It's the Kripa Shakti, the mercy. By the mercy of the Lord, everything is possible, which is without His mercy not possible. In relationship to character transformation, there is a verse which we often quote, which says how important the mercy of the Lord is. Mukham karoti vachalam pangum langayate girim yat kripatam ahang vande. There are two renditions to the verse. One is Sri Guru Dina Dharanam, and also another rendition of the verse is Parama Madhava something. By the mercy of Guru or by the mercy of Madhava, Krishna. A dumb man can become an eloquent speaker, and a lame man can cross the mountains, and a blind man, what can he do? See the stars in the sky. How poetically. It's possible by mercy. How else? By the mercy of Guru, and in this other rendition, by the mercy of Madhava, Lord Krishna. After all, it's the same. The Guru doesn't... he is giving us the mercy of Lord Krishna. The mercy of Lord Krishna is coming through him. Baladev Vidyabhushana says, just by paying close attention and hearing and then reflecting about it and then applying it, you can't really change the heart. You must get the Kripa Shakti. And this was one extra point. And he makes a second extra point. You must pray to get the mercy. The power of prayer is very important, and the first leg of our seminar this morning will go into this, our main prayer. We will discuss our Hare Krishna chanting. Then a character change can be possible. I want to give you now a little example of this. Now it will be much easier to follow the lecture, because we will hear the most far-out story of transformation I have come across. It's the story of Vishvamitra Muni. He was once on a hunting excursion in the forest, and after doing so, he came to the hermitage of the saint Vasishtha. He said, Vasishtha, we are very hungry. Can you somehow serve us something? Vasishtha, he called one name, Nandini, Nandini. And the cow came. It turned out it was a wish-fulfilling cow, which became the cause of the most amazing story of transformation which you have ever heard in your life. Vishvamitra said, they are hungry, please give them, let us host them nicely. All of a sudden, Vishvamitra saw how servants emanated from the udder of the cow, not milk, servants, then little tables, then plates with katoli, what is it called, the plates with this little pots, and food, including sandwich, and heavenly dancers. Eating is a cultural experience. There should be some some observation of a dance before. And Vishvamitra ate and saw all these wonders, and when he had finished his meal, he knew he must have that cow. He approached Vasishtha and said, "You are a hermit in the forest. I'm a king. I'm also your king. I have many guests, and you have so rarely guests. I give you in exchange for Nandini 1,000 cows. Who can give you the amount, the milk, so that you can have the ghee for your sacrifices? Saints keep cows because of the ghee which they require for their daily sacrifices." Vasishtha said, "I would give you the cow, but it's only possible. It is a gift for me. It is a personal gift. I cannot offend the giver, and nor does Nandini want to go to anyone else than me. I'm sorry, it is not possible. But whenever you need a good meal, come here." Vishvamitra felt highly offended. Now it was a matter of pride. His pride was hurt. This ascetic man told him what to do. For one day he sat under a tree thinking what to do. Then he knew. He came back with a small army. "If you don't give Nandini by like this, you will have to give it like that." And they led Nandini away, who was crying piteously. At that moment Vasishtha said, "Stop, you cannot take the cow, give it back." "I don't give it back," said Vishvamitra, "I just took it." At this moment Vishvamitra called a danda, Brahma danda, Vishvamitra Vasishtha, shoop, a danda came, and he made shoop, and arrows started to come. Vishvamitra engaged his whole army to fight, but the arrows killed all the soldiers and drove him mad. Finally he said, "I'm sorry," and he fell down and said, "Can you forgive me, Vasishtha?" Vasishtha said, "Shh!" He called a mantra and he took all the arrows and soldiers back. "Don't do it again. You cannot challenge a Brahma Rishi. Your force is not very much, Vishvamitra. Now you have seen the force of a Brahma Rishi." Vishvamitra was shocked, and he went under a tree. He had lost 100 sons in this fight. It was not an easy fight, and he was bleeding. He went under a tree and he sat and he cried. He said, "All my life I've been a king with this little power. This old man just had a bamboo staff and just finished me at my army. I must become a Brahma Rishi, and then I retaliate. What do you see in this? A strong ahankara, huh?" A strong sense of aham and mameti. He is not a transformed man. He is an ordinary man. "I will go onto the peak of the Himalayas, and when I have attained power, I will challenge him." So he went to the top of the Himalayas. He bathed every day in the Ganga water, performed pranayama exercises. Yes, you have heard properly. He did this heavy pranayama exercises. He detached himself from his body and calmed his mind. And at the end of his practice, he had developed a lot of tejas, that's brahminical fire which surrounded him. It came in a flame out of his head, and Indra, ever watchful that there is not someone who becomes more powerful than him, became highly worried. I mean, he's so powerful, he will think of ascending my throne. I must do something. So I will go a little bit fast through the story, because now it gets a little bit intense. He sent Menaka. Menaka was a woman of extraordinary rupes. Rupa means form. Then she came and saw Vishvamitra. His eyes were closed. How can I make this person fall down who cannot even see my physical charms, said Menaka. I know, he can hear at least my charms. So she danced with her ankle bells and made a runu 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 sound, apparently very erotic sound. And Vishwamitra saw this gorgeous woman. He also noticed they were alone in the forest. There was no television camera or anything. And he noticed he had material desires. The rest is left to your imagination what happened. A child was born. Her name was Shakuntala. And when Vishwamitra saw that he had now a little family, he thought, this was not intended. I was cheated, most probably by Indra. And he immediately said, Menaka, I'm sorry, this is not my lifestyle. Extremely disappointed with you. You really pulled me down, and I've lost all my tejas. I have to start again. So he left Menaka. Menaka left also the child. She didn't have so much motherly courage to take on a child. And it came to a sage. If the sage Kanva would not have come, we would not have this beautiful poesy called Shakuntala. Shakuntala is a work by Kalidas which charmed Goethe's heart. Goethe is a German poet of the old times. So Vishwamitra did another attempt. He went to a really hidden forest, stood on one leg with upraised arms, and meditated on Brahman. Again Indra felt threatened and sent a heavenly damsel to spoil his penance. Her name was Ramba, and she came with a musical orchestra, because she knew he has his eyes closed, he is doing tapasya. So there was this musical orchestra. Ramba watched him swaying back and forth. Vishwamitra heard the music and came out of his meditation and saw Ramba. And this time he was just so totally disgusted. He became angry and said, what are you thinking? What are you doing? This is nothing less than prostitution, to make me fall down. And he became so angry and he said, you. And he said a strong word. And then he cursed Ramba. Turn into a stone, you nonsense. She was a stone. But when he had said it, he again saw, oh no, I have misused my powers. This is a rule in the subtle laws of spiritual life, or you know, ascetic life. If you get powers and then misuse them, these powers will leave you. So first I became lusty and wasted my powers in lust. Then I became angry and wasted my powers in anger. And he again turned Ramba into a woman with his rest of power. He says, don't do it again. And then he went to another peak of the Himalayan mountains. And this time he was determined. He became motionless and breathless. He became really, really powerful and disciplined. At this time, India was ruled by one king called Harishchandra, or he's also sometimes referred as Trishanku. Trishanku was a vain man. He wanted to do what many kings have done. They wanted to attain the heavenly planets in their self-same body. Who is an example of another king who wanted this? Ravan, yes. And we even have this in the Christian legend. They built a tower of Babylon and wanted to go up there. So it seems to be a reoccurring theme of powerful kings to want to go to Svargaloka in the body. Vasishtha was the family guru of this person and refused flatly. This is immoral, unethical, and impossible. But Harishchandra wanted it very strongly. So he thought, where is Vishvamitra? I will ask him. He sent his search parties all over the world and finally knew the address of Vishvamitra Muni. He went to him and said, I have such a desire. Vishvamitra said, I am not interested to help you. It is unethical. Well, said Harishchandra, there is a side point I need to say. Vasishtha, my family guru, said he couldn't do it. He was not powerful enough. Mm-hmm. I thought maybe you could do it and show who has the real power here. He said it more cleverly, not so transparent, you know. Vishvamitra thought about it and they said, I will show who is more powerful. I will retaliate my humiliation on that one day where I was defeated by Vasishtha. And by his potency, he helped Trishanku to move upwards. When he came to the heavenly planets, he must have had a vehicle or something. Then Indra pushed him down, and he came down again. And this man shouted, Vishvamitra, help me! Help me! I'm crashing towards the earth. Vishvamitra put all his power and said, I will create a separate paradise, a separate heaven for you, so that you don't have to go back. And he took all his power and created a star, which is still visible. At this time, it's not a legend, it's a Trishanku star. If you know Vedic astrology, you can look at it. Hare Krishna. But of course, afterwards, he again thought, I have again spent all my tejas. I begin to understand how I become a Brahma Rishi. Not by my own strength. I must seek the blessings of someone who is a Brahma Rishi. There's only one very powerful Brahma Rishi, and that's my enemy, Vasishtha. I think I cannot become a Brahma Rishi unless and until I kill this fool. So he went to the hermitage of Vasishtha. He hid in the night. He took a huge stone. He was hiding next to a mountain. Yadunandan is getting totally agitated now. Your mouth opened, it did not close. Yeah, it will be very interesting. It is now a... yes. At midnight, he waited at the gate near. He had a rock, and he wanted to hurl the rock on Vasishtha when he would come out of his ashram to do his morning duties, morning toilet, we would say in Belgium, to this at the riverbank, and it would look as if from the nearby mountain a rock had fallen on him. It was sometimes happened to a hermit. So this was his plan. So he stood there, and then he saw the light in the morning coming up. And he overheard a conversation which Vasishtha had with Arundhati, his wife. Vasishtha said, Vishvamitra is such a great man. Very soon he will have attained the status of a Brahma Rishi. What? And Arundhati said, well, for that he would need blessings of another Brahma Rishi. If Vishvamitra Muni is now so qualified, would you bless him? Vasishtha thought for a moment and said, of course! I will, provided he comes to me and looks for my blessings. When Vishvamitra heard this, that his arch enemy was ready to give him his blessing, provided he would come, he cried, he put the rock down, he went inside, he prostrated himself. Can you forgive me? I look for your blessing. Vasishtha looked at him smilingly. He was a Brahma Rishi. He knew who was listening to what he said. Vasishtha said, now you have become a Brahma Rishi. You have given up your anger. You have given up your lust. You have given up your anger. Now you have given up the most difficult thing, that is your envy. And he blessed him, may you become a Brahma Rishi. And at this moment, with the blessing, Vishvamitra instantaneously saw the famous Brahma Gayatri Mantra. He heard it. He was initiated in it. I will tell you only the first syllable of the Brahma Gayatri Mantra. I cannot tell you the whole, but it starts with Om. But it's a long mantra, and he saw the whole. Which describes the different levels of the universe, how they are illuminated by the sun, which is no one else than Krishna, who illuminates the different levels in the universe, and also the different levels of our personality, the material, the mental, and the intellectual stratas of our personality. He became the Rishi of that mantra. Vishvamitra is closely related to the morning practice of the Brahmanas who are here in our Radhadesh community. So yes, this was is a story of the of transformation. And my dear devotees, I really think it must have been possible by Krishna's mercy that Vishvamitra Muni, who hated Vasishtha so much, became like this. And Prabhupada writes about the relationship of the two. There was a great tension between Vasishtha and Vishvamitra, who wanted his Kamadhenu, wish-fulfilling cow. Vasishtha Muni refused to spare his Kamadhenu, and for this Vishvamitra killed his 100 sons. As a perfect Brahmana, Vasishtha tolerated all the taunts of Vishvamitra. But it was heavy for Vasishtha. You will hear, I don't know if you have an enemy, sometimes it's difficult to tolerate. Once Vasishtha was so disheartened, he tried to commit suicide on account of Vishvamitra's torture. There were many other things than just trying to throw a rock on Vasishtha. But all his attempts were unsuccessful. He jumped from a hill, but the stones on which he fell became a stack of cotton, and thus he was saved. Vasishtha jumped into the ocean, but the waves washed him ashore. He jumped into the river, but the river also washed him ashore. Thus all his suicide attempts were unsuccessful.
He is also one of the seven rishis and husband of Arundhati, the famous star. Arundhati was not only a woman, but also a star. So you can see, Vasishtha was disheartened, but he was sometimes even so disheartened that he thought of committing suicide. But he was able to forgive Vishvamitra, you know, for all what he had done. He said, of course I bless him, but he has to come to me. I think Krishna will also bless all of us if we come to him. If we understand, we need a blessing for this endeavor to change our hearts. I think Radha Gopinath is blessing all of you very, very much. It's very apparent. Maybe you do not see it so much because you are every day here and you know all the things which are not all right in Radha-desh. I guess you also have such things. But anyone who comes to you is seeing that the blessings of that this deity Radha Gopinath is a very great blesser. He's a great blesser. And yes, so let us summarize. We can obtain we can work with our own endeavor on our transformation, which is we need to hear a lot. We need to reflect about what we have heard, and we also need to practice, to apply. But the major part of the transformation of the heart, which will make our heart into a golden heart, so to say, a devotee heart, I wanted to say, will be the blessings of the Lord, the mercy of the Lord, the Kripa Shakti of the Lord, for which we have to pray. We have to pray. Let us not be shy. Let us be very, let us happily enter into the world of the praying devotees. Yeah. Of course I will bless him, but he has to come to me. This is what Krishna also says. Krishna will forgive us also our wrongs which we have done, our maybe turnings for so long away from him and even against him in some cases in our lives. Yes. This will be the only way for the transformation to be effective. Hare Krishna. I want to end here. Thank you very much for being attentive. I hope I have explained everything in an encouraging way. I must say I'm very grateful to be here. I told Hrida Chaitanya Prabhu, I'm also very happy that it is not, that it is in a peaceful situation. Sometimes in a convention there are just so many devotees and one is so excited to meet all of them, and it's sometimes just not possible from the time, and then one is a little frustrated and one is not sleeping enough to meet them all and so on. But here is a very, very nice time. I want to request all of you, we have certain programs and I know it will not be possible for all of you to come to each single one of them. There is a schedule and I suggest that we print it out so that devotees know when what is happening. But there's one program where I would really like to invite all of you. It's maybe if I have anything to give, then it is this Japa workshop, which we will do, I believe, on Wednesday evening. So if you can somehow plan your time in such a way to be here Wednesday evening, that would be very Very good. It's something very nice. There's a few simple items which are really simple and really authorized, but extremely powerful from our tradition. You will be able to see a very marked difference in your japa. It really works. Okay. Here in the temple room, yes, Vishnumurti nods his head. Mm-hmm. Yes, in the temple room. Please come.
Father Krishna.
Yes, no problem. What is the time now, Manoha? We went a little over time most probably. So we will not request any questions at this moment because we are a little over time. Thank you very much. I wish you a wonderful day. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.